Hey, viewer, shalom and good morning. We want to conclude the second letter to the Thessalonians. That's chapter 3, from verse 1 to 18. And we want to look at two more things that the believers ought to know so that they can be able to stand firm as this wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And one of it that he talks about here is the place of prayer as a form of worship and work as a form of worship. It's good to realize that I've had some people, good believers, and that's good for them to see that. They say that God did not create us to worship, but to stewardship. Well, on one hand, that is true, because when you look at it from worship, from the narrow sense, that is now telling the Lord what he has done and who he is. The claim, which is very true, is a good claim, that we have got enough angels to worship God. That's very true. You also say that when God called Adam, he said, go and take dominion. But I want to look at the word worship as the word response, because worship by itself means your response to what God has done for you. If you look at it from that broader sense, that the word worship would means what do you do because of what the Lord has done for you, you will discover that everything concerns worship. In that sense, you discover your response concerns worship. You discover that praise is a form of worship. You discover that visiting others is a form of worship, because you are doing as a response, as a recognition of what God has done. You will give, and giving becomes a form of worship. Work becomes a form of worship. So in that broader sense, I want to now add value into this. If you look at worship in a lower sense, it's true, we were not called to worship just to tell God what he has done. But in a broader sense, looking at the definition of the term worship as the response for what God has done, is the knowledge. There must be knowledge of what he has done for you. So last time, we looked at about two things that can help the Thessalonian church to wait until the second coming of Jesus without being moved so much by the long doctrines and teachings purported to have come from Paul. He said, number one, as we said yesterday, last session, is for them to realize that they were saved by the grace of God, the love of God. That their coming, they did not contribute to their coming, and so they cannot contribute to their waiting. It is God who is working in them. And number two, they were told to hold fast to the teaching. Stand firm by holding fast to the teaching that was passed to you. And we discovered that the teaching is not a teaching, but the teaching is about the Lord Jesus Christ, is the tradition that was passed to them about who Jesus is and the progression of how Jesus came as a man to die, resurrected, ascended, and is soon coming. Hold to that. And now, and they were reminded it is him who is able to help you do this. Now, in this now here, he brings out two other elements about prayer, the prayer from yourself and from others that can be able to make you hold fast. Not only prayer, you continue to work as a worship, as a form of worship. Don't become idle, because some people had already become or turned to become idle. So, chapter 3, he says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us, that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from the wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing, and will continue to do the things we commanded. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. So Paul alluded here as the place of prayer. He says, you pray for us, and we also pray for you. You know, it's amazing that when people go through problem, they are looking for prayer. I want to challenge you to ask for people who are asking for prayer to make them pray even for you. Maybe somebody says, my family is just about to break. I am feeling like I've come to the end of myself. Ask them to pray. Engage them into prayer. I know they will say, I don't feel like it. But you don't pray because we feel like. Paul says, pray for us. How would such a confused church be asked for prayer? How would Paul challenge them to pray for us? Why? He said that our message may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. Just the way you honored the word, pray that same way. So that kind of engaging them in prayer is a form of worship. They are being told that you take part into this because you cannot pray until you engage faith. So you're engaging the faith of the people who are coming. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked people. Look, Paul is giving, pray that the gospel will be honored, will spread, and we shall be delivered from evil people. He gives the items or the prayer items or the words that can direct such a prayer. For not everyone has faith. You see, when you ask people to pray, give them words to pray through. Don't just ask people to make a prayer. Even when you are guiding prayer, read a scripture and pray through that scripture for a while. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from evil. So he was told, it's not about you again. The Lord is faithful. He will protect you from the evil one. Are you afraid that you will lose it? The Lord will protect you. And from that evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and continue to do what we commanded you as the Lord directs their hearts. So that's number one, which could result in number three. What if we talked about what we learned yesterday about knowing the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ in their salvation, the one who started, and the place for them holding to the teachings that they got, this one, prayer becomes the third one. Now, the fourth one and the last one we want to cover here, you were told to be doing as they wait for the second coming of Jesus or the day of the Lord, is to work as a worship. Do not become idle. Work. Work can be worship. Whatever you are doing, you are working unto the Lord. Why am I saying that work unto worship? Because the Bible says, whatever you do, work unto the Lord. Work as though you're working for the Lord. Whether you are a slave, whether you are a master, work unto the Lord. Some people had turned to become idols. So he says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. So, you know, they're told to keep away from those idle people, those who disrupt. That means there are some people who are just coming to disrupt the lives of others. Idle people always disrupt. It's wrong to walk with idle people. Paul says, keep away from those believers who are idle. Don't allow them into your office. Don't allow them into your businesses. Now, when you see a man, even purported to be a man of God, who is an idle person and seems not to know what they're doing, don't allow them into your space. Paul says they will disrupt you and they are not living as per the teaching. Let everybody work. Paul became a tent maker. No wonder God, who is our example, would visit Adam in the cool of the day. I want to believe it's because he wanted Adam to continue to domineering, to continue working. Adam had been given work to do. And, you know, the work was to keep the garden, is to tend the garden, is to add value to the garden. And God would wanted Adam not to be idle. And so he could not even visit him all the times. Apparently, he could come at the cool of the day, probably when Adam had already worked to his exhaustion and he was resting and all that. That's on a sideway. So he said, do not allow them into your space. For you yourself know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. The contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any one of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Now, Paul now alludes to him as an example. He says, look, as we talk about working, remember ourselves as a model. Remember, while we were with you, we worked night and day. We toiled. He is using the word laboring and toiling, day and night. We are an example. We did not eat your food. We did not take anything without paying for it. That's why all the times, as a rule of thumb, I don't want to be given things by people. I want to keep paying. For example, even when somebody do something to me, like they put pressure, you know, they put pressure for me in a car, you know, or the tire, I just give tips. That's why even people who serve, I just want to appreciate them. Not that they have asked of me. That's why I carry some little few things that God has put in my heart to keep the people who serve me, because I don't want to eat any people's food without paying for it. I insist on paying. I insist on giving. I insist on becoming a blessing to them. I labor day and night. Paul says that now that he will not become a burden to them. What a good model he is. Then he says, remember, we have the right to eat from you because we are your apostles. So when we come, we have a right to such help, but we wanted you to have an example, a model that you can imitate. And then he had given them a rule. If you're unwilling to work, you should not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. So Paul says, those that are busybodies, these that are idle and disruptive, we command them to work, settle, do something. But then he says, don't stop doing good, you people. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. This is very important for Paul to end this letter this way. And he says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. So may the Lord of peace give the people peace as they wait on Jesus Christ in all way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, writing this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So Paul now talks about peace and grace as another way of remaining until Jesus comes. He appealed for peace. Peace is not the absence of disruption, but is the presence of tranquility, is the presence of calmness, is the presence of settlement, is the presence of feeling that you are comfortable, even in the midst of disruption. He did not say that disruption will not come, but you can be able to settle or calm your storm. Just like when Jesus was in the boat, Jesus did not stop the storm coming, or he could have stopped the storm coming, but he could also stop their hearts from getting disruption. So when a storm comes, Jesus can either stop them, or he can calm them, or he can calm your heart and allow the storm to continue. Father, we are grateful. Thank you for your peace and your grace. You are the God of peace. You are the Lord of peace. Give us peace at all times and in every way. Give us the grace to wait on you as you did to the Thessalonian church. In Jesus' name.